Kia ora koutou, everybody. Welcome along to the Rugby Pass podcast. As we head into round four, and very lucky to have a special guest with us today, Mark Stafford, formerly a rugby bookmaker with New Zealand's TAB and now a raconteur, radio host and a rugby savant. I'm going to introduce you that way, Mark.
Nice.
It's great to have you with us in Super Rugby in full swing, as we know. Round three threw up some interesting questions. First of all, around the use of a TMO, what happens in slow motion and what happens in real time? We are, of course, referring to the Ardie Savia knock-on decision in the Hurricanes-Blues game, ruled by Shane McDermott, the TMO, that in real time, the ball was not knocked on, despite the fact that the four prior slow motion replays seemed to indicate that it was. Where do you stand on this, Mark?
Well, if it's shown in slow motion that it's knocked on, it's knocked on. Because sometimes things happen so fast in real time, you can't pick it up. They'll take slow-mo decisions for fingertips on a ball to score a try. I think there's a directive from the referees in the referee's manual. If you're not quite sure, look at it in real time and make your decision there. I can't quite figure it out. We still haven't got it right.
Here's the thing that gets me. I'm hot on this, so I'm going to lay this out there. The best referee in the team has got the whistle.
Yep.
The next two best referees have got flags.
Yep.
And then the bloke, who's judged not to be good enough to do any of those jobs, is making every crucial decision in the game.
The most crucial decision.
Have we gone too far in how much powers the TMO have, or alternatively, have referees gone too soft in how much control they keep in the game?
Why can't the referee be the TMO? Like, I've been saying this for 2 or 3 years. Like in the NFL, they go to the side, there's the screen, they put the hood over the top, they watch it, they make the decision. As you say, they've got school C and UE and a master's. The TMO left school at fourth form.
That's true, though.
It is true. Why doesn't the referee?
The other thing that gets me is just because you've gone upstairs to the TMO, if you see the replay on the big screen yourself and you're the on-field referee, just make the call.
Yeah.
Cut out the middleman. One of the things that I noticed on the weekend, and we'll stay with TMOs if we can to start with, Stormers Sharks game. Sia Khaleesi, where was he supposed to put his foot? The man is moving across the try line, trying to stay onside, trying to make a tackle on halfback Cobus Reinach, and Cobus puts the ball down on his foot. Sia Khaleesi gets a yellow card, penalty try. That's the game. That was the game-changing moment in that match. Marius Jonker is an experienced referee in the TMO booth. Mike Fraser asks the question. He says, did the player kick the ball out of Nine Blacks' hands? I think there's a word missing there. And I think that word is intentionally.
Intentionally, yep.
Now, I'll have 50% of people say, well, a referee can't rule on intent. Well, yes, they can. It's a deliberate act of foul play, kicking the ball out of a player's hand in a try-scoring action. No way in the world was that a deliberate play for mine.
If you hinge your knee and extend your foot towards the ball to kick it, that is a kick.
Right.
He was merely taking a step, a large step, because he had a lot of ground to cover. I could not believe it.
Neither could I. Neither could Skulk Berger. That's the angriest you'll ever see Skulk Berger on a footy field when dealing with a referee.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Skulk angry.
I'm over the TMO decisions, mate, because they are... as you say, game changers and seasons and reputations and playoff spots and all of that. I know we're at the start of the season, but I bet you we get to playoff time and there'll be teams that are 1 or 2 points out and they look back at round two or round three and go, that moment.
Dead set. Dead set. I mean, that's a costly moment for the Blues. It's a costly moment for the Stormers. Look, there are other tries on the weekend too, which I think on review should have never been awarded. But we'll move on because this is close to your heart too. Hurricanes with some very big news today and real disappointment for the tournament as well. Nehi Milner-Scudder, one of the star All Blacks of 2015, ruled out for the Super Rugby season today and will undergo shoulder surgery. How much of a loss for the comp, first of all, and second, how much of a loss for the Hurricanes?
For the comp, it's massive. I mean, he was the IRB Young Player of the Year. Just a dazzler. You go to the circus and there's no clown, you feel shortchanged. Go to the Super Rugby, no Nehi, shortchanged. I mean, I really feel for the bloke. He burst onto the scene last year. I think for the comp, when he's touring overseas, everyone knows who he is. He's a draw card. He's an entertainer. How bad for the Hurricanes? Again, devastating. just what he brings, the unpredictability. You know yourself when you're watching him, whether you're calling the game or whatever, there's an up and under, he catches it, you go, hang on.
Yeah, that's right.
What's happening? We've lost that.
I'm going to move across the ditch. Another issue this week that we need to discuss, the Brumbies. I know they are shortening up like a bastard on betting agencies around the world. Is it too soon to be anointing them champions in waiting?
I need to dig deeper into that definition. I think they are definitely favourites. They are just clinical, efficient, no weakness, depth, all of the hallmarks of the old Gregan, Larkham, Roth era, Owen Finnegan, all of those guys, Stephen Larkham at the helm, and he's just got these guys believing. When you've got a team playing to a really good pattern and every single one of them believe, really hard to knock off. I won't put the champions' medals around their neck yet, but they're top four and they'll be playing playoffs at home. Super hard to beat.
Well, it's going to be interesting this weekend. Of course, they match up with the Stormers, and the Stormers will be stung pretty badly by that Sharks defeat. We'll stay in the Republic too, because the Sharks are 3-0, and I don't think anyone at the start of the season would have predicted the Sharks to leap out to 3-0 on a season start. They've played the Kings, they've played the Jaguares, and a close victory there, and another close one over the Stormers. Have we been a bit quick to write off the Sharks and the resilience of the Sharks and the way they play the game?
No, write them off. Write them off.
Done.
Done.
They play the Bulls this weekend at Loftus-Versfeld. No chance. Bulls coming off a bye week.
Yeah, I like the Bulls in this one. They'll just muscle up. They had that scary loss early in the tournament. I think the Sharks, you've rightly pointed out, they've played the Kings, who I think are worse than the Sunwolves.
Oh, dead set. 100%.
Yeah, and then they stiffly won the Stormers game, which, as we've just talked about, they shouldn't have. And the Jaguares, who are just getting the hang of Super Rugby over in the subcontinent for the first time. I'm not enthused at all about the Sharks.
Are we seeing some worrying trends from a South African philosophical point of view here in the way they play the game, the fact they play so much rugby inside their own half? The attacking intent, I think, is there, but they're just not playing percentages in terms of territory in a game. Are they capable of doing that? Have they stopped their kicking game? Is this the direct result of a challenge that's been laid down by World Rugby and the other nations to South Africans to say, put the boot away, run it at us? They seem to be doing it.
Yeah, they do. I think the one thing that South African rugby's lacked for a long time for me is just that final 10% finesse. And those crucial 50-50 decisions, they're sort of 80-20 for the South African teams. You'll just see an opportunity and they don't do it.
Yeah.
Whereas you'll get a master tactician, an Aaron Crude and a Bodie Barrett, make that right decision. I just feel like South African teams in general don't get that crucial decision right.
Well, it's interesting to me to look through the ranks in Super Rugby in South Africa and think, who's the playmaker? Who's the one guy? In New Zealand, you can point to two or three first fives. In Australia, two or three good first fives. The Jaguares have a good first five.
Tremendous.
The Sunwolves have a very unorthodox but very capable first five. You look through the South African sides, and I know you've got good, capable players, but there's no out-and-out superstar 10 there for me.
No. Eldon Yanches is pretty exciting guy. I like the way he takes the ball. He's a little bit like Aaron Cruden, the way he stands quite flat and attacks the line. But his defence is a little bit lacking, I think. And, again, the decision-making, he's a little bit 100% go, go, go. He's a first five. He's a second five in a first five body.
Here's the interesting thing about him. He lists his heroes: Carlos Spencer, Stephen Larkham, Johnny Wilkinson, and Dan Carter. That's half the problem. I mean, like, that's four very different first fives. You can't copy all four. No. Otherwise, what are you? You got to stick to your knitting. We'll leave African continent and we'll head across to Japan. Last week on this very podcast, Callum Henderson said this is the best chance for the Sunwolves to win a game all season long. We concurred, and they blew it.
They blew it, yeah. I really wanted them to win that because I don't think there's any team in the Super Rugby competition that try harder. God, they try hard.
Oh, yeah.
And they're incredibly fit. And you can just see they are just...
It was a blow for sentimentality, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
The issue for me is that, you know, you knew they were going to come out of the blocks after a week off. That's another week that Mark Hammett, Philo Teatea had to work with that team. It's another week of fitness for the Sunwolves. But I really do despair as this season progresses and we get down into the week 8, week 9, week 10, where all of that pre-season conditioning comes back to you. This could be one of the great drop-offs, couldn't it?
Yeah, it really could. I mean, they're getting by on debutante enthusiasm at the moment, aren't they? The Jaguares in a similar position, but they're hardened internationals and they'll cope with it a lot better than the Sunwolves. They haven't copped the big, big teams yet. Wait till they come up against some of the big hitters. It could be damaging.
Here's another theory for you. At what point do the South African teams get told just to man up and deal with it? Because the Sunwolves should not be playing code in Singapore. 25,000 opening game in Tokyo, 8,000 in Singapore, the last game up. That is a massive disparity, and it's massive for the Sunwolves and massively penalising for the Sunwolves. They have to leave Tokyo, where they are based, just because it suits a flight schedule for a South African rugby team. I think that's unfair.
Is that what it was? I thought it must have been some sort of corporate arrangement with a Singapore business or something like that.
Direct flight to Singapore from Johannesburg means that the South Africans can take one flight, get off, play the game, go home.
We will let you into the competition if you do what you're told.
Well, totally, right? I mean, You know, look, everyone's got to, you know, the travel's a killer for every team in this competition. Some, yes, get it worse than others. But, I mean, you can't just send a team to a different country, can you?
No.
Frustrating.
That's outrageous.
Speaking of different countries, the Chiefs went over to the Kings, obviously got 50 points, and it was
better
good.
Of the week.
It was a good 50. Mm. It was a good 50. Well and truly covered their point start, I would have imagined.
Easily.
Then they fly from Port Elizabeth to Johannesburg. Then they fly from Johannesburg to Sao Paulo. Then they get in pencil planes and fly from Sao Paulo to Buenos Aires. And now 1,000 people just turned up to their first training session. Do you think that Super Rugby fans are prepared for what we are going to see on that opening Aguares game in Argentina?
Oh, I don't think New Zealand are prepared.
Damn straight we're not.
Hell no.
I want to go there. I just want to go and eat meat.
Eat meat, yeah. That is must watch. I mean, you can circle a few games, and over the years I've always circled the Waratahs Reds game, but I'm over that now. Jaguari's first game
at home.
That's
a horrible game, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you're over it.
Yeah, it is a horrible game.
Aguari's at home, and their first ever home game in Super Rugby. I think this is going to be incredible to watch.
Yeah.
Chiefs a chance.
Oh, look, they are, just because I think man on man, but I think the Jaguares this year are going to knock some scalps over big time. And the travel factor is going to work against them, and it's going to work for them when they're at home. Someone has already asked me better the week, and I just said Jaguares against the Chiefs because of their travel. Mm. But it's probably next week, whoever the Chiefs have got next week, because they've gone Hamilton, South Africa.
Yeah, well, they come back from Buenos Aires. They land in Hamilton or land in Auckland, drive to Hamilton. 3 days later, they play the Forts.
Yeah.
It's a killer schedule for the Chiefs. They've been jacked here. We've touched on a few games. You believe the Bulls will take down the Sharks this weekend. We think the Aguates Chiefs might be our game to watch this weekend. The Stormers and the Brumbies can't pick that at the moment, but you'd have to think the Brumbies are favourites given on form.
Yep.
Sunwolves back in action against the Rebels out of Melbourne, and the Rebels had a good win over the Reds, so they're 2-1 to start the season to the Rebs. But Sunwolves back in Tokyo for this one. Do you give them a shot, or was that it?
No, I'd give them a shot, still early stages. I think if they go loss, then it's going to be very hard for them to get back up. But they're, you know, the Japanese people, they just never say die. They will just play their guts out every single game. The Rebels, I've liked them early stages, I think, but there's no depth, and we haven't seen the squads yet. I imagine he'll be resting a few.
Yeah, well, you'd think so. You'd think so. Game of the round for me, Tars Highlanders. Repeat of last year's semi-final. That one's in Sydney. The Tars coming off a bye week as well. The Highlanders have a few injury concerns. How do you see this one going? I don't think the Highlanders have hit top gear yet.
I don't either, and I don't know that they will in Sydney either. I'd lean towards the Waratahs. This isn't what I want. This is what I think will happen, okay? But, yeah, just that week off for the Waratahs. An early bye, I think, is good because it's quite – you've seen the guys at preseason. It's intense.
Oh, yeah.
So an early season bye, I think, is really good. And they would have had a little package of their early rounds that they could work on, and I think they'll be quite slick and polished.
The Waratahs' big problem is they've played no footy. They give away 15.5 penalties per game. That's the most in the comp. They allow 176 passes per game. That's the most in the comp. I think they're making the most tackles per game in the comp. This is a team that has Kirtley Beale and Israel Folau and Michael Hooper. You cannot spend your whole game defending when you've got that sort of quality in your ranks.
Yeah, that's why I think the week off's been good for them, Scotty. I think they will sort that out. They'll trick themselves up and they'll do a little dance.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that one. The Reds taking on the Blues. The Reds are 0-3. New coaching setup. Check. Are still losing. Check. The Reds. The Reds are shit.
They are.
There's no other way to say this. And even a comeback against the Rebels, which was sparked by an illegal try to the Reds when Rob Simmons joined them all illegally. I'm just not buying the Reds any hope back in Queensland here. I think the Blues would have taken more from that loss against the Hurricanes than the Reds would have taken from their loss against the Rebels.
100%, yeah. Like, I used to really enjoy the Reds when, you know, Will Guinea and co were there, and they were Super Rugby champions not too long ago.
Totally.
And what has happened to that? I sit there and I just shake my head and go, you are average.
Yeah. Do you know what happens? When Ewan McKenzie leaves a team, they go through a period of decline. That happened with the Waratahs.
Good point.
When he was sacked from the Tars back in, when they last made the final 2007 against the Crusaders, what did the Tars do for the next 5 years? Zero.
Nothing.
And he leaves the Reds, and in 2012, he takes the director of rugby role, and then he gasses that and takes the Wallabies. And now they're on the decline. I think Ewan McKenzie is a big loss to any team he leaves. I've got to be honest with you. And full disclosure here, I know Ewan and I like Ewan. I mean, Ewan has been treated unfairly in almost any team he's been in. And I know he's not a politically correct sort of bloke.
Where is he now?
He's in Christchurch. Tell you what he's doing. He's out of rugby. He's town planning in Christchurch.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's on the rebuild, mate. Ewan McKenzie's rebuilding Christchurch. What a ripper.
So all this talk about who's going to replace Todd Blackadder.
Well, all the talk about who's going to replace Todd Blackadder at the Crusaders, and I'm glad you brought them up because they got the Kings, so that's a bonus point for them. Tabai Madsen, Scott Robertson, pretty much in the bag, isn't it?
You'd think
it's
so.
It's in the bag.
You'd think so, yeah.
The big question, who's going to coach the Highlanders? But we'll save that for another week. Staffy, one more game to get through this week on the Rugby Pass podcast. That is the Canes taking on the Force, a Nihi Milner scudder-less Canes. The Force a chance here. And Palmerston North, too.
I want to say no, but the Force, they're an ugly side.
Oh, they're terribly ugly.
Yeah. And they,
do you know what? Matt Hodgson, their captain, is 34 years old. He made 21 tackles last week.
He's epic.
Yeah, but stop making Matt Hodgson do everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to help the bloke out, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, he's good. But when there was Hodgson, Pocock and Brown and...
It'll come to you.
Yeah, it'll come to me, the other guy. They were the form
loose totally
form
right,
trio,
they were.
And they just ran the show. It was incredible, and they've just fallen
off
a little bit.
They had Nathan Sharp too, which helped.
They did have Nathan Sharp and Honey Badger. But yeah, I think the Canes, if it was in Wellington, I'd just say, yep, they win that one. But just that little Palmerston North side of things, it's only, you know, Nani Laumapi from Palmy Boys, he'll be playing. Callum Gibbons, turbo man, but no Milner Scudder. But the Palmy faithful will be out on Force. On Force. Cully's Corner will be down there in the south west corner there. I really hope the Hurricanes can really stamp something here. We saw makings of it last week. Great win, great for their confidence. So, yeah, I think the Hurricanes, but just narrowly.
Stevie, it's been a pleasure. That is the Rugby Pass podcast for this week, heading into round 4 of Super Rugby. Today's date, the 16th of March. Don't forget, join Rugby Pass now. That is some serious code for your viewing pleasure all throughout Asia. RugbyPass.com. Go and sign up today. Make sure you take full advantage of all Super Rugby matches, plus Six Nations, plus the All Blacks, the
That's
Wallabies, and more.
Code.
There's lots.
That's a lot.
Oh, she's a hell of a thing.